you would, turn in your Bibles to Psalms 48. We're going to read the entire scripture of chapter 48. Great is the Lord and most worthy of praise. In the city of God, His holy mountain, it is beautiful in its loftiness, the joy of the whole earth. Like the utmost heights of Zaphon and Mount Zion, the city of the great king, God is in her citadels. He has shown himself to be her fortress. When the kings joined forces, when they advanced together, they saw her and were astounded, and they fled in terror. Trembling seized them there. Pain like that of a woman in labor, you destroyed them like ships of tarnish, scattered by the east wind. And we have heard, so we have seen, in the city of the Lord Almighty, in the city of our God, God makes her secure forever. Within the temple, O God, we meditate on your unfailing love. Like your name, O God, your praise reaches the ends of the earth. Your right hand is filled with righteousness. Mount Zion rejoices. The villages of Judah are glad because of your judgments. Walk about Zion, go around her, count her towers, consider well her ramparts, view her citadels, that you may tell them to the next generation, for this God is our God forever and ever. He will be our guide even in the end.
Please turn your Bibles to Psalm 120. Psalm 120. Boy, I'm so glad to see you all here today. Are you glad to be here today? All right, good. All right. I don't know why I'm so glad to see you. It's joyful. I was gone this past week at the third and fourth grade camp out at Camp Yamhill. And somebody asked me earlier whether I enjoyed my vacation. And I had to think about that for a second. It was a great time of ministering to third and fourth graders, but they have a whole lot of energy. And I have a great amount of respect for those that work with those kids and from a very young age help them see that God loves them, that He cares about them. And that camp is a place where they can get away and begin to experience God in a way that maybe they haven't before. So it was a good week, but I'm really tired. I'm really tired. And I'm really glad to see you guys. You know, when I wake up in the morning, there are two things that get me going. One is coffee. Anybody else drink coffee in the morning? Okay. All right, good. You're all out of the closet now. You all drink coffee. Good. And it helps me awaken, right? It's got the stimulant in there that gets us going. And I have my coffee, and that kind of wakes me up physically. But I've got another thing that wakes me up spiritually. It kind of gets me going in the morning, and that's the book of Psalms. I don't know what it is about the Psalms. I just know that it is a stimulant to my soul. If there's something there when you read it and you imbibe that material, that it just does something to you, it awakens things. It makes you alive to the things of God. It makes you alive to what your life should be. It convicts you of where it's not. And it points you toward Him. And it wakes me up spiritually in the morning. And today, I am excited to be able to talk about some of my favorite psalms. Psalms of celebration. Psalms that just celebrate the city of God. That celebrate the fact that we are people who belong to God and belong to the great Zion, the great city of God. There are many different kinds of psalms. There are thanksgiving psalms about thanking God for specific things that have happened. There are psalms that are crying out to God and asking Him for things. There are psalms that are literally weeping psalms, psalms of lament when things have not gone well. But my favorite ones are the psalms of celebration. These are sometimes referred to as the songs of Zion. There are specific songs that celebrate and rejoice in the city of Jerusalem. And we have sung a song today that is about this idea of marching to Zion. And I think if all of us that are familiar with the Bible are familiar with the importance of Jerusalem, this city that sits in Palestine today, that is still a place where pilgrims come from all over the world, was conquered by David, and then he built an altar to Yahweh God there, and a temple was begun under Solomon his son, and consecrated in the year 960. And this was the central point of Israel's worship of God at the great temple. It was destroyed in the year AD 70 when Jerusalem was crushed by the Romans. But up until that time, it was the political and religious and emotional center of the Jewish nation. Some of these psalms, starting with chapter 120, are actually psalms that pilgrims who went to Jerusalem would sing on their way there. Psalm 120 through Psalm 134 are what are called ascent psalms. And what you would do is when you were on your way there for Passover or whatever, you would be singing these as you went to kind of get you ready to be worshiping at the great temple of God. And if you read those, you will see there's a lot of references to the great city. And that's where this idea of marching to Zion comes from. And I would like for our kids to help me out at this point, just to give us a visual idea of what it looks like to march to Zion. I'd like for the children that are in here today, there's no children's worship, to stand up and join me at the back, right back there by where the doors open up. We're not going to go out to children's worship, but if you're willing to, stand back there, and we're going to sing that song, "We're Marching to Zion" again, and we're going to march around and end up here as if this is the temple. And just sing that song together. So let's all stand again. We're all going to sing this song. Tim is going to lead us, and I'm going to lead the kids in this little march to Zion, okay? And you can stretch your legs too if you want. All right, and you guys follow me, all right?
Thank you.
just imagine pilgrims from all over Israel at various times during the year marching to Zion. And they're singing these psalms of ascent as they go, celebrating the city of Jerusalem. What exactly is there to celebrate about the city of Jerusalem? What I'd like for us to do for the next few minutes is look at a few of these psalms that talk about how great Zion is. And for us to think about Zion, not as the physical place, Jerusalem, the place that exists in Palestine, a physical place, but instead to think about the spiritual Jerusalem. Did you know that the Bible in several places in the New Testament specifically refers to this kind of analogy between the Old Covenant refers to Jerusalem, the physical Jerusalem, but there is this spiritual Jerusalem, and that is the New Covenant and the people of God that are now the temple of God. God does not dwell in a temple made by hands, but now He dwells within His church, within the body of Christ. And I want us today to read these psalms as speaking about the city of God, the people of God, and our destination in heaven. Can we read it that way today? And see if it doesn't fill us up and speak to our souls. Let's pray. Father, bless us now as we read these words from the Psalms. May you teach us about the glories of the heavenly Zion. May you teach us about the glories of your people, of your church, of your body. So Christ, I pray. Amen. Psalm 46. We'll be looking at several Psalms this morning. What exactly is there about Zion that's worth celebrating? Why are there so many psalms about it? Psalm 46 points us toward something unique. And that is, we can celebrate Zion because it is the city where God resides. And He is the protector of His city. God is our refuge and strength and ever-present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear. Though the earth give way and the mountains fall into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam and the mountains quake with their surging, there is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy place where the Most High dwells. God is within her. She will not fall. God will help her at break of day. Nations are in uproar. Kingdoms fall. He lifts His voice. The earth melts. The Lord Almighty is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. Come and see the works of the Lord. The desolations He has brought on the earth. He makes war cease to the ends of the earth. He breaks the bow and shatters the spear. He burns the shields with fire. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord Almighty is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. We celebrate and we worship here this morning. We lift up our hearts and glorify God together because we believe that God is with us. Is God with us? Yes. He is our fortress and refuge. He's not distant from us. He is close by. He is near. He inhabits the praise of His people. He is among us. And He is our fortress and our protection. You know, in the ancient world, this was not something to be taken lightly. Cities had walls around them. That's how we can discover some of those ancient cities. We find their walls because, well, it was a dangerous place. And you needed protection. And a city without protection was vulnerable. The Israelites celebrated Zion because God was their protection. He was their strength. He is on their side. If God is on our side, it doesn't really matter who is against us. We can turn to Romans chapter 8 and we see Paul making the same statement. Romans chapter 8, the Apostle Paul says this. Verse 31, what then shall we say in response to this? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for all of us, how will he not also along with him graciously give us all things? Who will bring any charge against those whom God has chosen? It is God who justifies. Who is it that condemns? Jesus Christ, who died, more than that, who was raised to life, is at the right hand of God and is also interceding for us. Who will separate us from the love of Christ? Shall trouble or hardship or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? No, as it is written, for your sake we face death all day long. We are considered as sheep to be slaughtered. No, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through Him who loved us. We can celebrate Zion because God is with us. He is on our side. He supplies us with the need that we have. Notice in chapter 46 of the Psalms, this reference to, there is a river whose streams make glad the city of God. You know, there's an interesting historical fact that there was a spring within the walls of Jerusalem that bubbled up from time to time, and it gushed water, and people could drink from that, and it refreshed them. If foreign armies surrounded them and cut off, and that nobody could get in or out, they could still drink and last for a long time from that bubbling water that came up from the Gihon Springs. This is a reference to this, and I can't help but think spiritually about Christ being the one who refreshes us from time to time, gives us what we need. The woman at the well asks for that water that she can drink and will never be thirsty again, and Jesus gives it to her, says that's what He offers. And He offers us that kind of life as well, life that no one else can provide. That's why we celebrate the Zion. That's why we celebrate the body of Christ in the heavenly Jerusalem. We celebrate God's presence among us, His strength, His protection, His provision, and His sustenance. We also celebrate the privilege of belonging. We celebrate because it is a privilege to belong to Zion. Take a look at Psalm 84. Psalm 84, one of the richest psalms in the celebratory psalm genre. Psalm 84. How lovely is your dwelling place, O Lord Almighty. My soul yearns, even faints, for the courts of the Lord. My heart and my flesh cry out for the living God. Does your soul yearn and faint and long for the living God? Even the sparrow has found a home and a shallow in the swallow a nest for herself, where she may have her young and placed near your altar. O Lord Almighty, my King and my God, blessed are those who dwell in your house. They are ever praising you. Blessed are those whose strength is in you, who have set their hearts on pilgrimage as they pass through the valley of Baca. They make it a place of springs. The autumn rains also cover it with pools. They go from strength to strength till each appears before God in Zion. And then in verse 10, better is one day in your courts than a thousand elsewhere. I would rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than dwell in the tents of the wicked. For the Lord is a sun and shield. The Lord bestows favor and honor. No good thing does He withhold from those whose walk is blameless. O Lord Almighty, blessed is the man who trusts in You. It is a privilege and an honor and a blessing to be part of the body of Christ. It is a blessing and a privilege and an honor to be part of the body of Christ. The Israelites were a chosen people amongst all the nations of the world. God chose them to reveal Himself to humanity. It was a privilege and a blessing and an honor to be part of that nation. But God has expanded and opened the immigration policy, so to speak. And He's incorporated anybody who wants to be in this city. It's open to all who will come to His Son, Jesus Christ, and will claim Him as their Lord and submit to Him. It is a privilege and an honor and a blessing. It is not a burden. It is not some heavy burden that we have to bear. Oh, I guess I'll go worship to God today. Oh, boy, it's really a struggle being part of His body. It's a privilege, a blessing, and an honor. One of the things that I kind of in my own mind rebel against in the church growth theories out there are the idea of making it as convenient as possible for people to be a Christian or to be a member of the body of Christ. And we're so happy that people are willing to come. And we are happy when people come because they're responding to the call of God. But let's don't ever forget it is a privilege and an honor and a blessing to be part of God's people. God doesn't need us. He wants us. He is fully self-sustaining. He's sustained in His own person. We need Him. Desperately we need Him. Our souls need Him. And it is an honor and a blessing and a privilege to be part of that body, to be part of the city that He has created and that He is welcoming everybody into. And we need to recapture that. It is a blessing to come and worship Him. It is a privilege. We get to go worship God together. We get to live our lives to glorify the One who made us and created us. We get to do something in His name. It is an honor and a privilege and a blessing. Do we have that sense in our Christian lives? That's definitely what you get when you read the Psalms. Following God, being part of His kingdom, is not a burden. It is a blessing. Let's recapture that if we have lost it. And finally, Psalm 137. Psalm 137 is an interesting psalm that, if you don't know a little bit about the historical background, it may fall on deaf ears. Psalm 137 is a psalm of praise to God, a psalm of longing for the Zion, for people who have left it, not of their own will. They've been taken away in captivity. You know, in 586, the Babylonians conquered Jerusalem, and they basically deported the population back to Babylon. And evidently, there was some taunting that took place where the Babylonians would say to these people that, hey, I've heard some of those psalms of ascent that you guys sing when you go to Jerusalem and how great Jerusalem is and how great the city of God is. Why don't you sing us some of those songs now? By the rivers of Babylon we sat and we wept when we remembered Zion. There on the poplars we hung our harps. For there our captors asked us for songs. Our tormentors demanded songs of joy. They said, sing us one of the songs of Zion. How can we sing the songs of the Lord on a foreign land? And this is the part that gets me. If I forget you, O Jerusalem, may my right hand forget its skill. May my tongue cling to the roof of my mouth if I do not remember you, if I do not consider Jerusalem my highest joy. There is this sense of connection and loyalty and emotional attachment to Jerusalem that we need to have to the body of Christ, that we need to have to the things of God. It needs to be so close to our heart that if something happens to the church or the body, it tears us up. We're so connected with it. We're so in love with Christ and the church and His body and looking forward to that heavenly Jerusalem, which is now just here as a shadow, but will be fully then. We need to be attached to it. May we never forget Zion. May it be our highest joy. I don't know about you, but I want to feel that way about the church. If I ever, Lord, am forgetting and losing my way and not seeking the glory of Your body and not having as my highest joy Your things, Your kingdom, Lord, may You strike me. If I get so caught up in my job that I'm becoming the best manager at XYZ company, but I'm forgetting my loyalty to the church, may you strike down my job, Lord. If I'm becoming so good at some sport that I'm taken away from you all the time, Lord, and I'm not meeting with the people of God, may I break a leg so I can't do that anymore. That's what this psalm is seeming to indicate. If we lose our way and forget how glorious it is to be part of a body and to be part of the kingdom of God and fully part of it, then may God, you do something that would remind me of my first loyalty. You know, this week at camp, there was some contrast. Interesting, David, you talked about contrast at the Lord's Supper. And each one of these kids that's out there has a story. And you can see a lot about their story by watching how they act and all that kind of thing. I remember talking to one parent, actually, who was talking about their church life, and the phrase that was thrown out was that we made a bunch of big changes in our life to be closer to our church because we are all about church. That's what my whole family is about. Everything. It's all about the church. And we wanted to be close to it. We wanted to be involved as much as we could. And that phrase stuck with me. All about church. And then there was another situation. It was actually a child. I didn't get to talk to his parent, but it was relayed to me that one of the other counselors had talked to the parent and had asked, well, where do you guys go to church? And he couldn't even remember the name of the church that they went to. And I couldn't help but think about that contrast. Here's one that I'm all about church. It is all about my family. And here I can't even really remember the name of it. I wonder where are we in that spectrum? Maybe those are two extremes. But we might ask ourselves today, what is your loyalty? What is your dedication to the body of Christ? And I'm not just meaning the Kaiser Church of Christ. I mean, this is the Kaiser Church of Christ. I mean the things of God, the body of Christ in general, the kingdom of God, the things of God that He's doing in this world. How much of your time and energy and focus is on that? And how much of your time and energy and focus is on the things of the world? That's a question for you to ask. This psalm reminds us that our loyalty and devotion and connection should be to Zion. May it be our highest joy. Psalm 122 is also a psalm that's worth pointing to, but we won't refer to it out of consideration of time. But it's that psalm that says, I will pray for the peace of Jerusalem. I will be seeking its prosperity. I will be focused on its health. And I pray that that will be part of our life here, part of my life, that I will seek the prosperity of the spiritual Jerusalem. We have lots of reasons to celebrate the spiritual Zion. The walls are strong. Our enemies can't defeat us. No matter how hard they beat on the walls, no matter how loud they roar, the supplies are good. There's a stream that constantly satisfies it with its thirst. And our great King personally resides with us and guarantees our spiritual safety and protection. Residents, let's be people who celebrate Zion together. May this be a place we gather together and glorify God together and lift up our hearts and minds and souls to Him. Remember that God is on our side. Let's remember that we are greatly blessed and privileged people to be in such a wonderful city. And let's grow in our attachment and love for this city. Let's promote its welfare and let's seek its prosperity. Brothers and sisters, let us march to Zion. Let us be people who rejoice in the journey.